the church, and I ain't got no friends. You've got to show up, all right? And he's here. Thank you for being here. A couple of quick announcements. I know it's a lot with the kids coming down, but tonight, this is kind of last minute. Dr. Sisk, missionary to Japan for many years, director of BIMI, he is 90 years old. He'll be with us tonight preaching. He was in the area, and he had nowhere to be tonight, so he has somewhere to be now. Amen. So you want to come back. You want to meet Dr. Sisk. Just a very interesting man, but God's man, and we're excited to have him. December 17th, for everyone here, hey, that night, if you like, who likes Christmas music? December 17th is for you. Not me. I mean, we have Christmas music that night. Now, we've snuck some in here, and we're going to, but that night, Christmas music. I know the kids will be doing a few things as well. You do not want to miss that December 17th evening service. And listen, we're changing the time. We're going to have it at 5 o'clock. So if you show up at 6 o'clock, you can act like you didn't know that and just eat. Okay? But 5 o'clock is when service starts. Guys, we have presents for all the kids. It's going to be a great time. Please, December 17th. And then the 10th, next Sunday and the Sunday after that, both those Sundays, 4 o'clock, we'll have choir practice and some practice getting ready to do that. And then lastly, baby dedication service. We're going to try to lump maybe one or two a year because we have so many babies now. January 21st, we're in baby dedication service. If you want to be a part of that and your child be dedicated that day, please come see me. I'd like to talk to you a little more about what that is and why we do it, just so we know we all understand and understand the purpose. So January the 21st, baby dedication. If you want to be a part of that, anybody in the building, you want to be a part of that, please come speak with me. I'd love to talk to you about that. All right, where'd Dalton go? You come talk. I'm tired of talking. All right.
I'm tired of you talking too. Amen.
All right. Well, as I said earlier, I'm shocked some of you have friends. All right. Here's what I want to do this morning. Marsha, Gloria, Sandy, you guys can come get ready to sing. I want to see who brought the most friends and or family members. All right. I know you guys are shocked that I'm not going to win this. Okay. But I'm not. Everybody told me no. All right. And I invite a lot of people, okay? So I'm not bitter, but I'm getting over it. Here we go. All right? Here's what I want to know. How many, we'll go up and stage to see who brought the most. This is individually who brought the most people. So if you're a couple and you had a family member, one of you is going to have to pick who brought the family, all right? And so how many at least brought one friend and or family member? All right, praise the Lord. How many at least brought two friends or family? How many at least bought three friends or family? All right, if you bought at least three friends or family member, would you stand? Lainey, stand up. Lainey, get up there. All right. Yeah, Lainey. We might have to get her a step stool. All right. She's in the competition, okay? And Rocky, didn't you bring some? Yeah, you did. All right. You can give it to Megan if you want. All right. Out of y'all, how many at least brought four? All of you brought four? All right. Five. Shelby, all right. Six. Seven. Lisa. All right, Miss Lisa. Hey, we have a gift card for you. Grayson, go take that to Miss Lisa, please. Are these all family? What'd she say? Okay, she's donating it. Great. Hold on to it after the service. Yeah, we'll let you shop for them because you don't like to do that. All right. How many of yours were family and how many were friends? Fitting. All right, here we go. And no, we love it. Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody who came this morning, friends or family. I know you got one of those cards. If you got one of those cards, if you could, just please make sure that it gets in either my hand, pastor's hand, or back there in the offering plate after the service. We would greatly appreciate that. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll have some singing. Brother Gavin, you pray for us, sir.
dancing, I'm happy night and day. Makes me shout, there's no doubt, I know I'm born again.
Satan tried to say, I'd only thought I'd got saved. He tells me what a fool I had been. But when my mind goes back to that old bench where I prayed, I know that I've been born again.
Born again, free from sin, I'm happy night and day. Make me shout, there's no doubt, I know I'm born again.
Many times along the way my faith has grown weak when burdens seem to rise on every hand. But when I steal away in prayer, He answers my plea, my every need He understands.
Born again, free from sin, I'm happy night and day.
Chapter number one this morning, Matthew chapter number one. We will move around some, but they'll try to keep up with me on the screens here with some of the text too. Good luck, Gavin. He'll do a great job. Thank you again for being here. Honored, truly honored that everyone would be here this morning. I say the best thing about coming to God's house is that it's His house. Amen. I'm glad that He's here. I'm glad that, and I mean this with all due respect, I didn't come into a building this morning to worship a statue. I didn't come here to pray to somebody who can't hear my prayers. We have a God in heaven that is alive and loves every, listen to me, I don't know every name in this building, but I sure do know a God that loves every person in this building the same. Hard to comprehend that. Hard to understand that God truly is impartial. He has no favorites. He has no moments that He changes. One of my favorite texts of scriptures where it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have bad days. I have bad days. God don't have bad days. Amen. But here in Matthew chapter number one, we see a text that is a beautiful story, a promising story, and again, something that's just as important today as it was the day it happened. Matthew chapter number 1, the first book of the New Testament. Verse number 18, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph," listen to this, "before they came together, she was found with child." Now everybody in this room of a particular age would know that ain't possible, right? Let's not pole vault moments in the Bible where we get to see God do the impossible. That's His specialty. Amen. "And before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Verse 19. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream." And now, hey, another moment. Don't you know if you're Joseph, you're thankful the angel showed up. Right. "Honey, I'm with child. We haven't been together, and I wasn't with anyone else either." Sure you weren't, right? Can you imagine the contention in that household, the contention in that relationship? Right? We look at this stuff like we've always known it, but put their shoes on for a minute. The angel comes and he delivers a message. And I want to look at the message that he delivered to Joseph. Look at this. The Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Listen to this. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now, simply this morning, number one, it's a good Baptist sermon. I got 3 points, but about 100 sub-points, okay? Number one, I want to look at the way he was born. Jesus was born differently than everybody else in this room was born. And we have to understand, to realize that he can save us, to realize he's our Savior. We're going to deal with why he had to save us. We're going to deal with who he can save. But first, the way he was born lets us know there is indeed a possibility that he can save us. The Bible says that she was found a child of the Holy Ghost. No sinful man was involved in this process. The Bible lets us know that this was pre-planned. Isaiah chapter 7, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The Bible tells us Emmanuel being interpreted, God with us. Now, in 1 Peter, listen to this. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. This is speaking to the born-again believers, those that would be saved. And by the end of this evening, I want everybody here to understand what it means to be saved. Why we even say that? Okay? Because that's why Jesus came, right? Look what the Bible says. For he shall save his people from their sins. The Bible tells us that we were not redeemed with corruptible things. Some examples as silver and gold. From your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers. He says, hey, listen, money won't solve it. Hey, listen, religion won't solve it. You can be a member of Fellowship Baptist Church. That won't get you to heaven. Amen. You can have a whole bunch of money and put it back there in that plate. That won't get you to heaven. You know heaven's not full of good people and hell's full of bad people. Heaven's full of people who accepted the only good one who ever walked the earth. Amen. And hell's simply full of people who said no. It's that simple. And the Bible tells us we were not saved or not redeemed by these corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest these last times to you. Hey, I want to be clear about something. Jesus was not plan B. See, his birth was planned before the worlds were formed. And Jesus Christ was to pay the debt for your sin, my sin, so that he might save his people from their sin before the earth was ever created. Hard for us to imagine that God had a mind, God had a plan, God knew what he was doing before the world was here. People ask questions, well, if God made everything, where'd God come from? Well, God's not affected by time, space, and matter. To ask the question, where did God come from? He created time in the beginning. Right? In the beginning, God created the heaven, space, and the earth, matter. God created the things that we see as time, the things that we make finite. God's not finite. He's from beginning until ending forever. God has always been. God will always be. And before he made the world, before he made you, there was a plan. Because he knew who you'd be. Aren't you glad that God knows exactly who you are? In fact, God knows you so much. It says that he has the hairs on your head numbered. Now, for some of us, that was easier for him to do than others. Okay? But to think about it, he doesn't just say that he knows how many there are. They're particularly numbered. That means when anybody ever grew up in a house with a bunch of women, y'all are all smarter than me. Everyone's like, no, I don't know what he's going to say. And I, you know, you go to the sink in there, the kitchen, there's hair here and hair there and hair here, which is nasty. But God looks down, he goes, that's number 9,257. That's number 132. It says he has the hairs of your head numbered. God knows you on a level
that you don't even know you. He said, in spite of the Bible, he said, how many of us by just our thought can add height to our stature? God stepped out and said, let there be light. And it was. Let there be. And it was. And when it gets so good. In that Genesis chapter 1, he says, let there be. It was. And the Bible says, and it was good. You ever got done building something and looked back and thought, my goodness, that ain't good. No. Y'all holding them little babies now, them newborns, you hold them and they're so cute. You're like, look how adorable this baby. Yeah, Asher, he's so cute. When he's turned 2, it's like, not good. I said it often, when you have a child, you know God's real. When you have that little toddler running around, the devil's real too. Amen. It was good. And before God made these things that honestly we don't even fully understand yet. How many times has science caught up with the Bible? How many times have we had a theory in life and we just knew, you know, several hundred years ago, we knew the world was flat. And for any of you who still think that, I'm sorry. The Bible says that he stands on the surface of the earth. He understood that the world was round because he made the world round. God understands the way your brain works because God made your brain. And before you were here, before you were thought of, there was a man named Jesus who was going to be born in Bethlehem of a virgin. And it was always the plan. Now, here's the thing. He was born in a way different than us. No sinful man was involved. And if you could, take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 4. Gavin, try to keep up with these on the screen if you could again. I know it's Hebrews chapter 4. Something about this man, he wasn't born in sin, so he was able to live a life without sin. I want to be clear on something this morning. Jesus Christ is the only man to walk the earth without sin. To take a step back and look at somebody and go, oh, they're just worse than me. I'm glad that I'm not like them. I remember somewhere in the Bible when a Pharisee was looking down at somebody and saying, God, thank you for not making me like them. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Everybody in this room ain't like Jesus. He's the only man. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. The only man who ever walked this earth without sin. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, that Son of Mary, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. He said, seeing then that we have a great high priest, let's hold on real tight to our faith, our profession that we believe Jesus can hear and answer our prayer. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. See, that's why he had to be born of a woman. That's why he had to put himself in the flesh. He had to walk this world and walk this earth and have the same flesh that you have. Can you imagine the temptations that Jesus dealt with? Can you imagine the opportunities the devil tried to bring pride? Can you imagine how pretty women just came after Jesus? Not one slip up. Not one mistake. It's hard for any of us to fathom making it this week without sin. And Jesus lived a life without sin. In the same flesh, look, he can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, but within all points tempted like as we are, look at this, yet without sin. The temptations you deal with, the struggles that you have, Jesus shared in those, but he didn't give in to them. He didn't sin. He was born differently than anybody else in this room has ever been born because he never sinned. He wasn't born in sin. Therefore, he lived a life without sin. Hard for us to even comprehend a week without it. But Jesus made a life without it. In fact, in Psalms chapter 51, the psalmist David says this. He says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The reason it was important to understand that Jesus was born of a virgin with the Holy Ghost is because every other person in this room who's born of a one man and one woman, that's the way that works. The reality is, We were all born in sin. Let's talk about what this means. I don't become a sinner when I get older in sin. I get older in sin because I was born a sinner. His birth is so important because he was not born in sin. He did not have the sin nature. Oh, he had the flesh, yet without sin. See, Jesus is different than you and I. Amen. I'm going to say it this way. Jesus is better than you and I. We get guilty of looking around the room, categorizing each other. Let's all be clear. A bunch of sinners in this room. One real good Savior up there in heaven. He's different than we are. We see the way that He was born. But that last verse I read, how we're all born in sin. Let's look at why He was born. That seems like a reasonable question. Go to Romans chapter 5. Now remember, in Matthew 1, Verse 21, we read this, Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Now, I think a reasonable question would be, why do I need saved? I've seen an actual situation where there was a man that has a lot of influence, has a lot of money. He's been interviewed by someone else, and they're asking him, they're saying, would you accept Jesus as your Savior? And his response was, I don't really feel like I need saving. But if I needed saving, I guess I would go with Jesus. And what I want to make clear this morning is that everybody in this room needs saving. You'll never cross paths with somebody who doesn't need Jesus. I don't care if you're in America. I don't care if you're in the Philippines. I don't care if you're over in India. I don't care if you're in Russia. I don't care if you're in Ukraine. I don't care if you're in Brazil. I don't care if you're up north, if you're down south, if you're out west, if you're to the east coast. If you're in the middle of the ocean and run into somebody, they need Jesus. Amen. Why? Because we were all born into sin. Look at verse 12, chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Who's that talking about? Adam. Genesis chapter number 3. We have Adam, we have Eve, one man, one woman. We have the best looking man on the planet and the best looking woman on the planet. Bar was not set real high. But they were. And they were in perfection. Oh, they were in a place, Garden of Eden. God had put them in. They could eat. There was no need for rain. The water came up from the ground. It just watered the crops. And he said, you can eat of anything in here you want. Just not that one tree. Ain't that the way we work? God says, you can have all this you want, just not that one thing. And you go, but I really want that one thing. And the Bible tells us that the serpent came by, being the devil, came by, and he deceived Eve. Hath the Lord God not said? And he starts to revise the Bible, and he starts to revise the Word of God, and change what God said. And Eve's deceived, and she falls into sin. And she takes a bite of the apple, or the fruit, whatever it was. I'm calling it the apple just because we're in Western North Carolina. Somebody say amen. We don't know what it was. The fruit. She takes a bite of that thing. The Bible says she hands it to Eve, and the Bible says that Eve was deceived. But Adam wasn't. He knew better. Don't you remember when you were telling lies and you were like 5 and 6 year old, you still knew better? I mean, you did it, but you still knew better. And did you steal that cookie? No, I didn't. Not me. You knew better. I mean, it's simple. When you're young, your parents say, clean up your room, and you don't do that. You knew better. And now when we get even more complex situations coming our direction, here's the reality. This is a room full of people that we make sinful decisions, and we know better. We just do it anyways. And we take the problem of what Adam did. Adam picked Eve over God. We take the problem of what we do. We pick sin over the Savior. And we say, no, I don't want saving. I still want my sin. No, I don't want Jesus. I still want my sin. A lot of people have been duped into thinking we can choose sin and the Savior. But they're contrary one to the other. Jesus is saving you from your sin. You wouldn't save somebody from a canyon and leave them in it. Right? It doesn't work that way. And we think, I'll stay in my sin and the Savior will just come hop down in this thing with me. But the Bible says that by one man, being Adam, that sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon how many? All men. For that all have sinned. I know that it sounds real bad up front, but hang in with me. It gets real good in the end. We're looking at each other and we're looking across the room, and here's what we got to realize. This should somewhat convict us and this should somewhat comfort us. Number one, it should convict us in realizing, hey, I'm a sinner. Right? To realize that truly, the Bible says all have sinned. And I look back over my life and I see the times that even when it may not have been a big deal in my eyes, we categorize things. Remember, God does not sin is sin. Sin is wrong. Sin is something that we are all born in. And we tell this lie here and we do this wrong thing here and we do this. And no doubt there's people in the room right now, you're going down through your mind and you're like that kid on the Goonies. You're just confessing everything. You're remembering sin after sin after sin after problem after thing. And it's convicting when you see that. But let it be comforting. Look around the room. You're in a company of us. There's nobody in this room who's perfect. There's nobody in this room that quote unquote figured it out. There's just some people who met Jesus. And there's some people who still need to. Why? Because He came to save His people from their sin. I guess it's a good company to be in when you have some, because Jesus can take care of it. Look at verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Now remember, the Holy Ghost, He's who conceived Jesus, right? Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, the sinners. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. Think about it. You say, who are you willing to give your life for? I'm willing to give my life for my wife. I'm willing to give my life for my kids. Two of them. You can figure out which ones it is. But Jesus gave His life for the ungodly. In fact, verse 8 says this, but God commendeth, that means He shows, brings toward, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet, what? Sinners. Christ died for who? Sounds pretty good, don't it? Like it's convicting up front, but oh, it gets comforting there in the end. The first thing we have to realize is that we indeed have a need of a Savior. And we see that Jesus Christ was born in a way that He can be that Savior. And you say, what am I being saved from? Sin. The wages of sin is death. But I'm not to say, oh, I want to be saved from hell. Yes, hell is where you go if you choose your sin. But I'm listen to me. You're being saved from your sin. That's the reality of the Bible. You don't have to stay in that. You don't have to live in that. Jesus Christ paid the debt for that. He said, hey, I'll take that from you. You don't have to do that anymore. This whole ideology of I'm once saved, always saved, which is true, but therefore I can live however I want. The Bible says, God forbid. We shouldn't continue to live in sin when we know better. But Jesus Christ gave His life and He died. He was born in a way that He could die in a way that He would pay that debt of your sin. See, Jesus died. The wages of sin is death. But He never sinned. Seems odd, don't it? Not one time. Can you imagine your child being Jesus? Can you imagine your sibling being Jesus? Probably kick him in the shin every now and again just seeing if he'd get mad. Jesus never sinned one time. But look. Christ died for us. See, I saw the way He was born. I saw why. But lastly, let's see who He's born for, right? Matthew, where we read there in chapter 1, the Bible says, "For he shall save his people from their sins." Let's see who those people are. Go to John chapter number 3. This is a verse I'd say a lot of people in this room probably could quote. But I think oftentimes we get in the Bible and we start quoting Scripture and we stop giving it the importance that it deserves. This is not something to blow past. See, Jesus Christ came and died so He could save His people from their sins. And in John chapter number 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world." Pretty big joint. Aren't you glad it didn't say, "For God so loved the Baptist"? Y'all have heard the joke about heaven. When the guy gets there and he's walking around with St. Peter, and he's showing him around. This is a joke. This is not how it will actually be, okay? It's not theologically accurate. Don't shoot me. He's walking around. He sees a giant wall. He said, "What's over there?" And he goes, "Shh. That's where we keep the Baptists. They think they're the only ones here." Aren't you glad it doesn't say, "For God so loved the Baptists"? Aren't you glad it doesn't say, "For God so loved the Americans"? Let me tell you something. Here's a statistic that'll blow your mind. Do you know what percentage of the world's population lives in the United States of America? Somebody shout out. Does anybody know? 4. That means there's a 96% chance God died for the rest of them too. My Bible says, "For God so loved the world." That is every person living and breathing on the planet. 8 billion people. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Now let's think about this. Jesus was born in a way nobody else was born. See, a virgin conceived with the Holy Ghost. Now, the Bible tells us in John chapter number 1, verse 12, that as many as believe on Him, He gave us the power to become the sons of God. Amen. 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 We can be adopted, but we can't be begotten. I'm going to tell you what lets you know if someone really loves. "For God so loved the world that He..." Love gives. "And He gave His only begotten Son that..." Oh, that one better excite you. "Whosoever..." Yes, that does include Dalton. Amen. Anybody. "Whosoever..." You don't have to be born in a particular family. You don't have to live in a particular place. You don't have to check several boxes and get some things worked out in my life and figure some things out. Oh no, Jesus takes you the way you are. "Whosoever..." That's everybody. That's the comforting part. "He died for the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have" what? Now the wages of sin is... So Jesus took care of that and He said, "Tell you what, you believe in Me, I can give you everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be..." Hey, you know why He was born? So He could save His people from their sin. Do you know who He was born for? His people. You know who they are? The world. "Whosoever will." Here's the thing this morning. The range of... This is something I love about church. And you don't get this just anywhere. It's almost like church is one of those rare places you can get this. The range of people in this room right now, as far as backgrounds, age, where we work, the things that we enjoy to do. I like to use me and Nathan as an example. I know that we're related, but the only thing we have in common is the Lord. We are polar opposites. You see him over there walking up and down that piano? I could take a screwdriver and ruin that piano. But we can sit and talk for hours because we got one thing in common. And I look across the room of people and the backgrounds we come from, the places we come from, where we're headed today. Think about the difference when we leave this place, the different places we're all going. Now we're going to eat. I mean, I get that, okay? But the different places that we're going. It's such a broad spectrum, yet God died for all of us. God so loved the world. That's why He did it. He loves all of us, and not one more than the other, not one less than the other. It's the same. So the question I have for you this morning is something you've probably heard over and over if you live in this area a long time. This was the Bible Belt at one point in time. Sadly, it's not anymore. You ever been saved? I mean, the Bible's clear that Jesus Christ was born in a way, He lived in a way that He could save us. Right? The Bible was clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He had to die for the whole world because the whole world needed it. Right? And so now I know that Jesus can save. I know that I need saved. Have you ever been? Well, I think so. But boy, you think about eternity? If I asked you, do you have a job to go back to Monday? How many of you would be totally happy and calm in your home if the answer was, well, I think so. Well, I hope so. If I said, hey, does everybody have enough money to eat lunch today? Yeah, well, I think so. You'd just be calm. The reality is, if you were living paycheck to paycheck or even more, if you were living from meal to meal, you'd be concerned about that. You'd want to fix that. You know, if I ask some of us in here, I know we're getting near Christmas time, what is your favorite gift you got at Christmas when you were a kid? We start saying, oh yeah, and some of y'all will be like, you know, back in 1955, I got a this and that, you know. So you can remember the gift you got back in the 50s and you can't remember if you've ever been saved? You mean you'd be concerned about lunch and you're not concerned about eternity? See, the gravity of what's before us is that the reality is everybody in this room needs saving and we don't necessarily know how long we have left to be saved. Right? I got a text message this morning from my pastor friends, Brother Randy Barton. His son passed away today. As you can imagine, that was not exactly expected. For those of you in this room who've buried children, you know that's not exactly something a parent ever wants to live. And the reality is we're living life. If we started going down the room, we'd say, okay, the reality is right now, we'd say, I believe that the reality is that Brother Garner has probably lived more of his life and has left less than I do. 84 years old? Be 84. Brother Garner's wife's already in heaven. Brother Garner's three children are already in heaven. That's not how they expected that to be. But this is the way it went. And do you know the only reason he can know his family's in heaven? Is because at some point in time in their lives, they got saved from their sin. Do you know you'll be there? Remember the Bible told us, I read there a few months ago, we're not saved or redeemed by corruptible things like gold and silver or your vain conversation from traditions passed down by your fathers. You may say, well, I've been a good person. That won't cut it. For all have sinned and come short. You can't make it. To say I've been a good person is like saying I can jump a long way, so I'm going to jump over the Grand Canyon. I don't care how far you can jump. You can't jump that far. To get to heaven without Jesus is a trip that's too far for anybody to make. But listen to this. To get to heaven with Jesus is a trip that's short enough anybody can make it. Whosoever will. This morning as you stand to your feet, Nathan, play the piano, here's the way we do things. I do not come to you. I do not embarrass you. I do not make you do anything because I can't. The conversation I want to have right now is with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. This is between you and God. It's not even between you and me. I'm asking you to consider things between you and God. This morning we've looked in the Bible and we believe it very true that Jesus Christ was born like nobody else has ever been born. Jesus Christ lived like nobody else has ever lived. Everybody on the planet, everybody who's ever lived outside of Jesus Christ was born in sin, lived in sin, and at some point in time needed saved from that sin. And Jesus Christ came that He might save His people. That'd be the world. That'd be whosoever. Hey, listen. That'd be you. He wants to save you from your sin. So my question this morning, has that ever happened? You ever heard this before? I never forget the last several years sitting down with people that grew up in pastors' homes and been in church all their life and explained to them why Jesus had to die. And they never heard it. Has anybody ever made it clear to you the reason Jesus had to die is because He paid the debt for your sin? Listen to me. The question this morning is not, what are you going to do with your sin? Jesus Christ already did that. What are you going to do with the Savior? Anybody in the building, be honest and say, I don't remember a moment ever being saved. But I'd like to. Like I've had experiences, but I don't ever remember being saved. Would you pray for me? I'm not coming to you. I'm not calling you out. I'm just praying for you. Here's the reality. Only you can ask Jesus to save you. Only you can put your faith and trust in Jesus to save you. Nobody else can do that for you. Anybody just want to raise your hand and say, Preacher, I know 100% sure right now that I am saved. And if I died right now, I'd wake up in heaven. Would you slip your hand up and say, I know, I know, I know. I see those hands. And just like I didn't walk around the room and call anybody out, I won't do the same now. Did anybody slip a hand up real high and no one's looking around, everybody's got their head bowed and say, Preacher, I'm like 90% or, well, I'm not 100% sure that I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up right now real high where I can see that hand? I see that hand. Anybody else in the building, be honest and say, I'm not 100% sure I'm saved, but I'd like to be. Would you just slip your hand up real high where I can see it? I just want to pray for you. Anybody else in the building? Here's my request to you for those that raised your hand. Before you leave today, it is this simple. It's realizing Jesus is the Savior, realizing that you're a sinner, asking Jesus to be your Savior, and believing that He will. It's by faith. Before you leave today, as I pray, would you pray?